TR testing. 1, 2, 3. Test, test, test. N0 TR clear.
Hey, Tom. Sounds good.
And who am I speaking to?
That's Bill. N4WRO.
Well, great to hear you, Bill. He's down at Lake Hartwell, Chris. And I was just demonstrating to a guy here from plumbing. Walter Plumbing, and that's a friend of mine now, and an ex-jarhead. I mean, a Marine. Nothing like you Army guys, Bill.
Oh, no, don't call me Army. I was one of them flyboys. Yeah, I'm retired Air Force. All we did was keep the Army's butt out of trouble.
Well, again, I must have mistaken it.
N4WRO.
Oh, my apologies. WRO. I was thinking the WHM. I caught that wrong. All right. Well, God bless you for your service and this gentleman here, too. But I got to run, and it was Bill, I think. Over.
Yep, okay. Yeah, I just heard you holler for a test, and I said, well, he sounds good. I'll let him know.
What's your QTH?
I'm just south of Easley. I'm in Anderson County, but I'm about 3-4 miles south of Easley.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming back. Yeah, but I got to let you go because I got to discuss some other things with this gentleman here. But what a good test. You have a great day. W4, N4, WRO. This is N0TR, 73.
Okay, Tom, we'll talk to you later. Tell Bernice I said hello. N4WRO, we're clear.
Snydersville. Quick, KG4QLR.
Powder, back to Powdersville. I wonder how I got that name. There must have been a munitions works or something there.
Right? Yeah, just Civil War depot for powder. Right down the road from my house here, actually, is where it was supposedly at, according to Wikipedia or Google or whatever.
Bill in Artillery City.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really have that much in the way of artillery.
Not on guerrilla tactics, guerrilla warfare, things like that. Although, unfortunately.
Another thing to say around here, but they were beaten before they ever started. You know, pick a fight with someone who has vastly more population and vastly more industrial capacity and is getting, and you know, rail lines, telegraph lines, and is getting more powerful every year. And it was a loss from the beginning.
Right, you know, and we're stronger together than we are divided. So I guess all things happen for a reason.
About that. I haven't seen so much political division in this country, maybe almost since that time. Like half the country is trying to drive the other half away.
Pretty much it. That's pretty much exactly it.
Said, a third of the people want to slaughter the other third, while the third sits around and watches. You know, we didn't get there overnight. But, you know, I'm close to 60 years old. I've never quite seen this in this country.
I haven't seen a lot, but things getting a little crazy. I mean, you got the Republicans over here, which I vote Republican, but I'm actually somewhere in the middle. I would vote for a Libertarian candidate if they stood a chance of winning. But, you know, you got to go with the lesser of two evils, and that's a shame. They say you got one political party to choose from in North Korea. Well, in America, you got two.
Well, again, know your audience, because I'm from up north. But, you know, it seems to me we got a barely functional political party and an angry mob. But I know there's a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives down here. I'm going to tread lightly.
Sitting here wondering when somebody's going to come along and actually going to do something good for the people.
The system, at least at the national level, is heavily biased against third parties. The last third party to win a presidential election was the Republican Party in 1860. That's the the fault of, or that's the function of, the Electoral College. At the national level, third party doesn't have a chance. The Bull Moose Party in 1912, or thereabouts, might have come close. But, you know, as long as you just have a two-party system, not that much will change.
Dale, mate, we're always gridlocked and nothing getting done. They're all lame ducks this way.
You know, most other places you have a parliamentary system where you've got third, fourth, and fifth parties. And, you know, if no one has a majority, if, let's say, the Labor Party or the Conservative Party only has a plurality, they have to make a coalition with one of the other parties so they have a functional government. And that's where you get the political diversity you don't really have here.
Smaller government, less interference with our personal lives, less taxation, you know. All the things that we dream about, you know, like unicorns and all that kind of stuff.
I'll throw this out there as well. The United States at one time in the recent past had much, much higher personal tax rates. In the 1960s and 70s, I think you had a 70% personal tax rate. And in the 50s, it might have been 80 or 90%. Now, that was on money on income like over 100 grand. So nobody at that time fell into that category. And there were corporate tax rates that were in the 50% bracket. Still, if you look back 30, 40, 50 years ago, it wasn't generally a time of economic stagnation either. Corporations were making money, businesses were making money, and the United States was still a net exporter of things. So I don't necessarily agree higher tax rates is the problem.
It is definitely key. You know, what they're trying to implement will never work.
What you saying wouldn't work?
Communism.
Okay, but, yeah, now we get into terminology. What is socialism? What is communism? You know, define for me anywhere in the world a functioning communist government. You know, those are just words, it seems like the right throws around at the center.
Well, there's plenty of them. Cuba, they don't work. It never works. And that's what they want for our country.
Well, socialism is defined as an economic system where the means of production and distribution are controlled by the people. That sounds like an awful lot of things I've seen. For example, employee-run companies or cooperatives, agricultural cooperatives. You know, socialism, you can't say, is necessarily one thing or the other, right?
Thing and the division in this country right now is greater than I've ever seen it, and it needs to end. You know, people need to come together for something before there's nothing left. You know, get out and vote, turn this thing around. I mean, you gotta agree that the guy that's in there is a blithering idiot, a complete jackass, don't know his ass from a hole in the ground. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, you watch the news?
As often as I can. Well, any worse than the previous idiot. You know, you're not really going to find anyone to your liking. So in this country, what you have to do, basically, unfortunately, is vote for the lesser of two evils.
Right. That's why I voted for Trump last time, because, you know, he was the lesser of two evils, and he's a politician, and, you know, they're all in the same barrel as far as I'm concerned, but like you say, the lesser of two evils, so there you go, and we didn't win, and there's a lot of controversy around that. I have my opinions, and everybody has theirs. You know what they say about those, but I guess we'll just have to see what happens in 2024. Just hope for the best and hope the country can make it through this without economic collapse. That's my primary concern for the next couple years coming up.
When, and that's actually really not a matter of opinion. And, but, you know, he did incite an angry mob to go storm the Congress building. And, you know, you don't do that in a democracy. And you don't win an election, you don't win an election. Come back next time. Economically, you know, the United States does have a built-in... Economically, I think the United States will survive.
Years could hurt us, but we need to get it back on the right track because, you know, we're having supply chain shortages. Next thing you know, it'll be food chain shortages and things like that. We can't really live with that. I mean, people nowadays, they really don't prep or have any kind of stores or anything, you know, any kind of reserves on food. So that'd take a lot of people out in just a few months if we came on a supply chain, you know, breakdown in the food where you just couldn't go to the Ingles or whatever and get food, you know.
Chain problems were motivated by the pandemic, or at least that was the excuse. The workers decided that this was the time for the big quit. Basically to reestablish their power in the power dynamic, and I can't say that I blame them. So, you know, the big resignation led to a worker shortage. And, you know, I can't say that I necessarily, the workers saw their opportunity and they took it. Now, of course, they might still be out of work, but maybe that means employers now got to pay these wages.
Had some of that break, but I've been working through the whole thing, you know. That is, I'm lucky, actually, to have employment and to have had it through the whole thing and have not been affected by the pandemic, only in a positive manner, actually. We got more business when it happened, so that's just the way it's. Some businesses benefited from it, and then others, you know, it destroyed, but the business I'm in and actually benefited from it. So that's a good thing, I guess, if you could look at any, a pandemic as being a good thing. I mean, you know, there's two sides to everything. And just so happened we fell on the good side of it.
Well, what business would that be? Yeah, I'm sure quite a few businesses did benefit. What was your line of work before, or what is it now?
Janitorial. Yeah, people want things good and clean, disinfected.
Not that you can clean things much more than you have before, but, you know, yeah, I guess that would have been a good business. Okay, janitorial and custodial and generally. Yeah, because I guess people figured everything's got to be sterilized, so we got to hire on more janitorial people. All right, yeah, that's, I guess, one example of a business that might have done better.
It's all warm and fuzzy when you disinfect everything and wipe everything down several times a day, I guess. Which, you know, that's just the whole industry. I'm really not into that. I work in a lot of doctor's offices and things like that. I do the floors, but the business itself benefited from the daily, you know, disinfecting of everything and all that. People just have gone ridiculous with their regimens of disinfecting all the surfaces that are commonly touched and several times a day, which I guess makes sense, you know, if you look at it from a scientific standpoint, it does make sense. And if it helps, you know, keep somebody from getting to that spine, I had it. Wasn't that bad, but I'm young, so, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people my age that have died from it, too, so you just can't tell, and you really don't want to get it, because it really wasn't fun, but, it wasn't deadly, but it wasn't fun. So you gotta be careful out there.
Fall in the category of over 55, heart problems, lung problems, diabetic, probably, overweight, definitely. Yeah, I would fall in the category of being high at risk. So I would want to get it.
The maskers and the anti-vaxxers, you know, against the maskers and vaxxers and all that whole argument.
Understand. Is the argument that, well, let's see, the science of vaccination is only about 200 years old, so we really don't, the jury is still out on that one. Is that the argument? Or is the argument over a specific vaccine? Because we've all been vaccinated for something. I guarantee you, if you've been to public school, you had to have your MMR vaccine, your polio vaccine. I don't think they still do smallpox vaccine. They used to do DPT, diphtheria pertussis rubella. Now it's MMR, mumps, measles, rubella. You had to have all that to be in the public school system. So it's not as though the science of vaccination is brand new, just invented this year.
Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Dr. Glenn Williams. I'm a board-certified physician, and particularly about the vaccine, you're talking an mRNA vaccine versus a weakened virus vaccine, two completely different critters. That's just the start of the argument. And what they've been putting in vaccines in the last couple of years is just something very bothersome. Thanks.
Not to say, you know, the stem cell parts, the RNA and all this kind of stuff that's using these new vaccines, they were rushed into production. Me personally, my opinion, I will not take one. I refuse to, just because they were rushed into production. I already survived it. I already have the best vaccination I can have, so it makes sense that I wouldn't take it. But, you know, somebody that was high risk, older, if that were me, I would take it, you know. It just depends on what kind of situation you're in, I guess.
Completely.
Well, the thimerosal, the mercury compound, once used as a preservative, was pretty much voluntarily withdrawn. So what's in there now is saline solution, some nanolipid particles to hold the messenger RNA, and the little messenger RNA thingy. And now, it's not the first messenger RNA vaccine. I think the, what's the modern term for hydrophobia? Rabies. The rabies vaccine is one like that as well. So that's not really a new technology either, versus the weakened vaccine. All the mRNA vaccine, it tells the ribosomes to, you know, make part of the protein that makes up the immune system has the same response. It's a little spike protein. And it's just as good as if you had the actual piece of the virus, as far as anyone knows.
Get a chance to reply there.
KBT. Like I said, my concern is the other things that are being put in the vaccine. Also, the effect specifically of the spike protein, while it does is produced through the ribosome, what is the effect of the spike protein? And what we're seeing in blood work is an actual reduction of the immune system. Also seeing a 10-fold increase in cancer, 4-fold increase in heart attacks, and a 10-fold increase in blood clot disorders, including strokes and pulmonary embolism and such. So I was a very strong vaccine proponent until about 3 years ago, and then my opinion has changed seeing what I'm seeing on the front lines. Over.
Virologists who know more than anybody.
But I do know, and what I do know is that Biden is pushing this thing. He's like Dr. Evil up there, and that gives me great caution. You know, though anything that they want you to do this bad can't be something good. It just can't. I mean, there's no way. So, yeah, I'm a conspiracy theorist in that respect. But, you know, now you say that medical science has actually proven some of these things to be true. I've read about the blood clotting and, you know, possible heart disorders and things like that come along with it. But time, like with any vaccine, time will be the test that tells all. So, who knows? I mean, you know, this might be population control. Who knows? I'm not above believing in any theory at this point, any conspiracy theory with the regime that's in there, and I'll call them a regime because that's my choice. But anyway, I'm going to step away from the mic. Hope you guys have a great day, you know, and it's nice that we can all have different opinions and civilly discuss the matter. 73KG4QLR.
Talking to you, stick around for the 9 p.m. net if you happen to be up at that time. The other station is still there.
Can you go ahead?
Nothing, where was I? Well, I don't know. You know what also causes blood clots and heart problems and other problems you mentioned is COVID-19 infection. So, you know, I don't know of any vaccine that's ever been completely free of side effects. It's a question of, you know, it's a risk-reward calculation. One bad reaction out of 100,000 or 50,000 or even 10,000 versus actually getting the disease, which we're seeing now in some places with things like measles. You have these it's the MMR vaccine. And now you're seeing measles outbreaks in areas of the country where it was wiped out. And I'm sure as a physician, you've probably seen an active case of measles. Not a nice thing.
Risk versus benefit is something we do on a case-by-case basis every day. You got to decide, is that medicine, and all medicines are poisons, you know, worth the benefit to the patient. So, and I'm, like the other gentleman, have become a conspiracy theorist. The problem is all my conspiracies are coming true. It's kind of getting disappointing. So, other than that, we just keep on keeping on. I do my best to keep people healthy, and when they're not, fix them when I can, and do my best. I'm just home here, arriving from the grocery store. You have a wonderful day. Stay healthy. Stay safe. 73s.
73s to you. Well, it's about a quarter to one, so I should get out and do something then. But you take care of yourself. I already forgot your call sign, but there's a 9 p.m. net if you ever want to drop in. This is KD2BNG. I'll be listening.
This is Kilo Bravo 3 Kilo Victor Tango. Thank you much for the conversation. We're clear.
I got to get ready. I got work later, so catch you all later. KD4QLR.
Night Mobile.